Radio Gorgeous, podcasts for women.
Hi, I'm Nikki Kidner and you're listening to Radio Gorgeous. I'm very excited to be joined today by international makeup artist Sandra Cook. Sandra is a self-confessed makeup junkie. Sandra, let's start on the makeup stuff. What is it like on the inside of the fashion world to be a makeup artist for the rich and famous?
Well, it's certainly not glamorous. Everyone thinks your job is ridiculously glamorous. We have 4 a.m. call times. I have an inconsistent schedule, but it is super fun. You get to play with lots of products all day, be on incredible photo shoots, and go to incredible locations.
It must cost you an awful lot of money to actually bring all those products together.
Just, you build up product over the years, and obviously the better you get, the brands then tend to send you products to sort of try out and use. So my makeup spend is probably nothing like it used to be, but still probably more than the average woman.
And do you get much free from the makeup houses?
Yes, they generally do. Especially if you really like a brand, they like supporting you, you support them in terms of using them for shoots and giving them credits. And then eventually you can get something like a cosmetic contract with a brand where you work alongside the brand and be their ambassador.
It must be wonderful having all the products as soon as they're released, brand new, innovative stuff. What are your recommendations for a capsule makeup bag?
Well, the first thing I'd say is, and I think this is the main thing, skincare should be your top priority, because if you have beautiful skin, then you've got a perfect base to work your makeup. In terms of skincare brands, I absolutely adore an Australian brand called Alpha H. I've been using them for many years, and I know their owner, Michelle, and they are very innovative in anti-aging and also sun protection, which I think is very seriously lacking in the UK. I know we have clouds, but there's still UVA and UVB damage that can be used. So I use an SPF 50 on my face every day. Another skincare brand that I've just gotten into is Intraceuticals. They do these amazing oxygen facials. It's not a very abrasive skincare brand, but it's really about hydration. And by increasing the hydration in your skin really makes a huge difference to how young and fresh you look. There's another one called Cosmetics, which is a high-end doctor sort of prescribed brand. And when I say doctor prescribed, I mean like cosmetic doctors. But it also gets some incredible results for bad skin. In terms of a basic makeup kit, every girl needs a set of eyelash curlers, a good mascara. There are so many on the market. I personally love the Chanel, Le Volume de Chanel mascara. But there are other brands, YSL, Dior, even some of the cheaper brands like L'Oreal, they all do great mascaras. So a girl cannot leave without mascara and curling her eyelashes. In terms of foundation, I think foundation's a personal preference. I'm all a fan of foundation that is more sheer than not. And then using a concealer to cover up your blemishes and just let the beauty of your skin shine through. But there are so many amazing ones on the market. An old favourite of mine is the Giorgio Armani Luminous Silk. However, I've recently tried the Bare Essentials. They've done, I don't know the exact name of it, but it's sort of like a tinted moisturiser or a BB cream, and it is incredible. I just saw their PR and they have launched a whole new range of makeup, and it really is incredible. And it's still mineralised, but they're moving away from those sort of shiny powders that they were famous for, and becoming more of a, I would say, more well-rounded brand. But some of their, I was seriously impressed, and some of their products are absolutely beautiful, and I can't wait until they send the package to me to have a play. But it's amazing. Yeah, really good.
What about lipsticks and lip glosses?
Again, it's personal preference. I tend to go towards all the bright matte lipsticks and the pencils, so MAC is a good favourite of mine. They do brilliant lip pencils. But then you've got the Armani's do great lipsticks, so do YSL, Guerlain, Urban Decay. I think the range we've got these days is absolutely incredible. One of my other kit favourites is the NARS Chubby Pencils, and they are the best thing for a night out. You just whack it on your lips, draw on your lip with a pencil, and you've got a perfect lipstick. and it stays all night. And I especially love it on set when all of a sudden they want to put a red lip on, and instead of having to drag it out, very easy way to do a lip. And NARS do amazing bright colours, as we all know.
Have you got any rules to live by as far as you're faced with a model who has certain skin tone or complexion, eye colour, that some lipsticks would work for them and some wouldn't?
Generally speaking, if you want to wear a red lip, for someone who's very pale, you go for more of a blue tone, so that's a classic Pillarbox red. If you're more sort of bronzy, sort of goddessy toned, you can go for the bright red, but you can also go for more like an orangey sort of tomatoey type red. And then in terms of really dark skin, well, they're quite lucky because they can get away with more, but maybe something a bit more pink toned. But it really comes down to personal preference, and I think girls should push the boundaries with the lipstick colours they want to wear. I mean, hey, it's winter. If you want to wear a dark purple, wear it. Just maybe tone down the eyes.
So you said you can't leave the flat without mascara and your eyelash curlers.
Yep.
Is there any other staple that you just would never be without?
My skincare. That would be it. And the mascara is because I have white blonde eyelashes, and if I don't have mascara on, I look a bit alien.
Health, beauty and well-being, and sometimes sex. Listen to Radio Gorgeous every day now.
So how did you get into being a makeup artist?
Well, ever since I was a little girl, I was obsessed with makeup. And my mother's not very girly, so I outgrew her makeup collection when I was about 6 or 7. And in fact, my first Barbie doll I got given came with 3 shades of eyeshadow, which I proceeded to put everywhere. The dog, every doll of mine. So yeah, I was always obsessed. I went to a private school back in Australia, and the idea of not going to university was just not an option for me. I ended up in accounting. I basically did an undergrad traineeship at PricewaterhouseCoopers in international tax. And then I basically decided this wasn't what I wanted to do. And I randomly came across an ad for a makeup school and thought, right, that's it. So I enrolled myself in makeup school for a year. And I guess you can say the rest is history. I was lucky enough to be taught by Ray Morris, who some of you may have heard of her. She's a very famous Australian makeup artist. And she took a liking to me, so I ended up assisting her for a couple of years, which was incredible. And she's just as cosmetic obsessed as I am. I wanted to come to the UK. I had a British passport, so I thought, why not? So I came over to the UK, and I spent a couple of years assisting one of the top makeup artists in fashion. Her name's Lucia Peroni, and she is also incredible. If you turn the pages of most like Vogues and French Vogues and look at the advertising campaigns, she does Givenchy, Prada, Miu Miu, you name it, she's done it, and she's incredible. So I was really lucky to spend a couple of years with her. And with her, I did travel the world and worked on some incredible jobs and met some incredibly famous people. And then I left her a couple of years ago now, and I've been out on my own doing my own thing. So that's sort of how we get to now.
You can't just sweep past, you met loads of famous people. Is there a bit of a code of conduct around who you would then talk about or not?
Do you know what? In all my years of working, I don't really have a bad story to say about anyone. I mean, we're the people that make them look beautiful. So you get the odd bit of diva behaviour, but generally we won't talk about them. So I'm sorry, no gossip here.
Do you think social media has made your job easier or more difficult?
I think it's made it more difficult. In one way, it's great, especially for us, it's Instagram. You can see all your friends and people in the industry and what they're up to and all the rest of it. So it's great to see what's going on and be up to date. On the other hand, there's more pressure. So the brands now look at you for the number of Instagram followers. And I mean, it's been reported that models especially are finding it tricky because they're getting jobs on the fact that they've got a million plus Instagram followers. Like, it's more important for them, but for us, it's definitely catching up. It's also that need to constantly be creating a picture of your lifestyle through pictures. I'm not that old, but I do find the whole social media and the pressures with it just too much. I mean, I think people need to start living again. Unfortunately, I'm tied to it because of my work, like a lot of people, and I think, I don't know, I've got mixed views about it. I mean, I love Instagram, and then I find myself looking at it too much, so
it's easy to become addicted to.
It's easy, so yeah, it has made our job harder because you've got to have a social media social media presence. And even though I'm quite happy to talk to people and all the rest of it, I am quite a private person. My Facebook's on private. I don't like sharing everything on the internet, and that's the sort of the way the world's become. So
how can we find you on Instagram?
Oh, it's just my name, Sandra Cook.
Cook with an E.
Cook with an E, yes. Yes.
So what's the state of your kit? Is it a huge expense? Is it constant upkeep?
Well, my kit. I love my kit. I have an amazing assistant that helps organise it.
Oh, I thought you were going to say your kit's your assistant. all you ever needed.
No, I would be absolutely devastated if something happened to it. It's sort of a mix. We're very lucky, you know. Obviously, I'm now at a level where the brands will get in touch and they will send me product to use and try and have in my kit, because they obviously want to get the sort of promotional value of us using the products. But then, you know, there's products that you get, or there's the actual kit, or it's the constantly changing it around and reorganizing, and my label machine and my labels and all that sort of stuff. So yeah, it's massive. It seems to keep getting bigger. And yeah, I'm a bit ridiculous with it, with how clean and organised it needs to be.
I saw on Instagram the other day that you bought little embossed tags for your different makeup bags.
Well, yeah, I've sort of done a massive rejig of my kit and bought new suitcases and everything, because I was like, right, I need to redo this.
And for someone to get a visual, your kit is, oh, it's basically your office. I think you'd live in it if you could. But it's quite a first size suitcase.
Yeah.
But
and there's a second one as well. There's two. But one of them, the second one's more for jobs when I need to bring extra stuff, like all the more crazy, like glitters and paints and things like that. But yes, you were right. I bought all these in on the never-ending quest for the perfectly organised kit. When I rejigged my kit, I bought these little black bags from Muji, which are really perfect because they've got all my favourite things in them. And like my NARS pencils, or my bag with all my favourite liquid eyeliners.
You don't want to mix up your bag of pencil eyeliners with your bag of liquid eyeliners.
Exactly. So I got a whole new set of labels for these little bags to match my kit.
Super cute. So I'm quite product obsessed as well. I love makeup and every aspect of skincare, except the rigmarole of taking it all off on a night. But I have two liquid eyeliners. I have a brown one and a black one. Just the concept of you having a bag just for liquid eyeliners just seems so extreme, but necessary.
Yeah, I mean, I have a few liquid eyeliners. Most of them are black. Most of them are black because you've got different textures and also liquid liners, but everyone's different. Everyone's different. Sounds a bit ridiculous when you think of that.
So go on, tell me, paint a picture of the standard working day for you.
I normally have a car picking me up to take me to work. Normally our call times are 8 or 9 a.m. This is a standard sort of easy day, and we'll normally get there. And if I haven't already got the brief sent to me the night before, we'll have a chat with a stylist, photographer, maybe a creative director or an art director, the client, the hair, and there'll be a manicurist as well. And we'll sit down and we'll have a proper chat about what we're going to do, how many shots we need to do, what the looks are. They normally allow about 2 hours for hair and makeup. And then the model will get dressed and we'll start shooting. And we'll shoot through until we get however many shots that needs to be. And we'll have lunch brought into the studio. We can't just have a lunch break, run out and do some errands. And then we'll shoot. I mean, I've been on shoots till 10 o'clock at night. We stay until they've got everything they need. We might change the makeup between shots, or just have a touch-up bag and they'll keep the makeup same all day. And then, yeah, a car home at whatever time.
Radio Gorgeous, podcasts for women.
You must have some stories about days where things haven't quite gone to plan, or trips you've been on where you just couldn't have predicted what was going to come your way.
Oh, I've been on some crazy trips.
Name some of the places you've been.
I've been into the middle of the Namibian desert, and that was incredible. We visited this, I think it's called the Himba tribe, in the middle of the desert. The women there, I got to see their beauty treatments, and I was enthralled. They're how they wear this like red sort of moisturizing clay mud thing all over them that protects them from the sun and also moisturizes their skin. And they, so there's some interesting stuff there, but just being out in the middle of nowhere was just crazy.
Did you do a red clay mask?
No, I didn't. Some other crazy places I've been. Well, this one trip, we're in the Seychelles, and this is one of those trips where we had 4 a.m. starts every morning. Say glamour. Everyone thinks it's so glamorous. I come back from trips absolutely wrecked.
Sorry, but you're still in the Seychelles.
And we were going to another island. We had these two boats taking the whole crew across. And, of course, we've got all our camera equipment. We've also got our makeup and hair and, like, styling. Everything's coming across. And the driver of these boats are wearing wetsuits. Now, we had to go sit on either side of this boat. Anyway, we got out to the sort of more ocean, and it was crazy choppy. And we were like, we were being hit with tidal waves. And we we all got drenched. I actually hid behind the photographer, who's like 6'3", sort of positioned myself. But we all got off the boat reasonably drenched. We sort of forgot about it and got on shooting for the rest of the day. And then we had to go back at night, and the weather had changed, and it was even worse. And we had this 25-minute journey, and none of us had life jackets on. And the creative director from this advertising agency was there. We thought he was going to fall in. And we're bouncing across these waves, and it's just so surreal. Like, we could have drowned. All of us could have drowned. So, yeah, I've had some interesting experiences.
So is it right that you once stayed in a hotel that was built into the side of a mountain?
Yes. Yeah, that was in South Africa. Yeah, we went to this amazing hotel. It looked like something out of the Flintstones because they had these amazing cave rooms. We'd been driving through these thunderstorms. It was actually quite incredible because it was like seeing nature's own fireworks display. We drove for like 4 or 5 hours. Get there at night. The stylist and I are exhausted, but we decide to sit and have a glass of wine on. Really incredible. There's a picture of it actually on my Instagram of this resort. Anyway, went to bed, just gone to sleep, and I get this knock at the door, and I'm half asleep opening this door, and there's the hairstylist, the stylist, and the model. Their rooms have flooded. So the model bunked in with me, and the hairstylist bunked in with the hairstylist. We got no sleep. It was ridiculous. Next morning, we come to breakfast, and everyone's all bright and cheery, and the four of us are just looking like, how did you sleep? These sorts of things happen, especially when you're on location. You just can't really be that precious. You just have to deal with it.
The show must go on.
The show must go on. Yeah, that was a funny experience.
You must have had plenty of occasions of having to get on with no sleep.
Yeah, numerous.
What about some of your best trips?
I did go to the Maldives, actually, and that was an incredible trip. I think it's like, they're all really incredible in different ways, because you go to, I mean, I was in Antigua earlier this year, and we stayed at this resort. It was that we had this like 6-bedroom villa with beachfront and pool, and they would bring us breakfast and lunch and dinners and green juices and whatever else we requested. That was not a problem. Like hooning around on this island with little golf carts. That was quite incredible. But yeah, they're all memorable and incredible. And I think the best thing is I get to work with people that I absolutely love. I've got some really close friends and on the teams, and we tend to be booked all together all the time. So it's nice.
Oh, that's nice. I was thinking it might be more of the air steward situation where you're on a flight and you just have to make friends again with a new team, and it's always different faces on different rotations.
Well, sometimes it's like that. I mean, I went to Azerbaijan last year and didn't know anyone. You can't be a shy, retiring type in this sort of job. You have to be quite outgoing. And yeah, I often go to jobs and not know who I'm working with and never work with anyone. But on the other side, you tend to be booked by the same photographers. And so especially when you do trips, you tend more often than not know your team you're going with.
Right, Sandra, I can't let you go without asking you this. I need some insider tips. What can you give me as an expert that I can just walk away and I will look more beautiful tomorrow?
Okay, first thing is, all ladies, you need to start wearing moisturiser with an SPF in it, preferably 50 every day.
Got it.
This is the biggest anti-aging thing around. I would also say exfoliating a couple of times a week.
Whole body?
Well, yeah, whole body ideally, but especially your face, for sure. Really invest in your skincare, but I would be putting more money into your skincare than your makeup, because if your skin's looking good, then your makeup will look flawless. In terms of makeup tips, Mascaras. I think too many ladies hang on to their mascaras after they're well and truly finished. Throw them out after a month if they're dry.
A month?
They only really last about a month. And also to prevent it from drying out more. Don't know why, but girls seem to pump their mascaras because that will actually dry it out more. Another tip for perfume. When you spray it on your wrists, you don't want to rub it together because that will make it last less. With a perfume, they have three different sort of stages of scents. You've got your top note, your middle note, and then you've got your base note. And your base note is what you normally smell sort of at the end of the day after you've worn the perfume for a while. And it sort of wears down as throughout the day. If you put the perfume on your wrist and then you rub it, you're actually already destroying, like getting rid of the top note. A few other tips. I mean, if you're going to wear a lipstick to keep it lasting longer, definitely use a lip pencil. And also you can get your shape work right perfectly, draw it how you like it. And also check your makeup in daylight.
That's important when you're buying like a foundation or something as well, isn't it?
Even when you're doing your own makeup, it's so important to check it in daylight. And also, you know, check under your chin and your neck and blend your foundation down your neck. Don't just stop it at your jawline.
That was definitely a teenage error I was making for years and years.
I think we've all done it.
Sandra Cook, thank you so much for talking to us on Radio Gorgeous today. It's been really interesting to learn more about your life.
You're very welcome. The moment I wake up.
RadioGorgeous.com.